to take our Bible and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. I'm going to read the last verse. You won't have to stand tonight. I'm going to read one verse. We'll read it twice. And I appreciate this verse. The Bible said in Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You've heard that before, hadn't you? And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's a tremendous verse. Let's read it again. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'll tell you, it's good to have good friends. It's good to have friends. I used to say every time I get in trouble, I call on all three of mine. But I've got more friends than that. And I appreciate that. Let's bow our heads and ask God's leadership. Fathers, we bow our heads in your presence. We not only bow our head, but Lord, we bow our heart. We want to call upon you. Give us something tonight that will strengthen, encourage, and challenge the people. But we realize that we're in the last days and trying times. And we need thy strength and thy courage to stand up and be counted tonight. Have thine own way, and God will give you the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible said a man that hath friends, and I like friends. I've had them. All kinds of friends. You know, you've had all kinds of friends, haven't you? I've had good friends, and I've had some so-called bad friends. I've had some friends that told me they were my friends, but proved not to be my friend. I've had some that stayed with me. I've had some that's left me. And when the going gets rough, sometimes friends step out. Amen, they do, and they'll back up on you, and you won't be their friend anymore. Many times friendships that we have are based upon circumstances, upon things around us. As long as everything's going in the right direction, they're your friend. But when things go rough, they turn. Look at the prodigal, for instance. He left home, wasted his substance and riotous living, and when he got off down there at the hog lot, he didn't have no friends. When his money got gone, the friends got gone. And we've had that. But Solomon comes on to say something else. And here's what I want you to look at. And there is a friend. Now this is one we want to count on tonight. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I want to point out one thing here and then turn around and give you some other things about it. And then we're going to look at something different. And I pray tonight that God might help us with this. He said that there is a friend that sticketh. You remember some time ago I brought the little words out that said anything it ends in T-H. If it ends in T-H and it looks at that means that it's not only doing it now, but it's continuing. The Lord sticks with me. Thank God he's, amen, and the fellow said he's stuck with me all these years. But the man here, the writer, he's writing this and he's saying he's a friend that sticketh. That means keeps on sticking with you. He's not a fair weather friend. God loves you and sticks with you when everything's going good and when everything's going bad. He's there when nobody else can help you. I'm glad I've got a friend today that I can cherish and can have every day of my life. I got up this morning. First thing that popped to my mind was the man called Enoch out of the Word of God. The Bible said Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. He got to walking with the Lord and he got to walking with the Lord and he kept walking with the Lord and he kept walking with the Lord. And the next thing you know, he's closer to glory than he was to earth and he went on into heaven. And I thought that's pretty good. And I got to thinking, boy, I'd like to get close to the Lord, because the closer you get to the Lord, the less this world has any pull to you or any draw to you or any kind of magnetic force. Amen. And you get to where it's fun just to live for the Lord. And that's what we need to do. Most folks are not excited about living for the Lord. They're just existing. Most folks, and that's Christian people as well, are just existing. I want more than just an existence. Thank God there's something on the inside of me that's bigger than me. There's something on the inside of me that's greater than me. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to magnify the Lord. I'll give you three things that I believe we overlook about Him. That we overlook about God, His Son, the Holy Spirit. I believe there's three things, or there's more than three, but I'm going to give you three things tonight that I know we don't pay much attention to, and we forget it. When we forget these things, we're looking at something else, and that don't comfort us. I want you to take your Bible and go in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7. In Deuteronomy, the fifth book of your Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And then we'll get to Deuteronomy. We want to look at chapter number 7. And I want to give you a verse of scripture here. And we'll see what God said in verse number 21. The Bible said here in verse 21 of Deuteronomy chapter 7. He said, "Thou shalt not be affrighted at them." Now he's talking about the people. He said, "For the Lord thy God is among you." I want you to notice the next phrase. "A mighty God and terrible." Now that word terrible here is not somebody to be afraid of. It's talking about terrible. It means that He's a fearsome God. He's a God of wrath. He's not only a God of goodness, but He's a God of wrath. He's somebody to fear in the sense of His righteousness and His holiness. We'll talk about that in just a minute. So we look in the Word of God. Brother, He's a mighty God. I want to tell you one thing that I believe that we're overlooking in our modern day is the might of God, His might. We've living in a society, and I don't know where you're picking up on this or not, but I get the vibes of the community, I get the vibes of the people, I get the vibes of the public, I get the vibes of what the news media says and what the world says, and even Christian people, so-called, I get their little vibes. And we've come to society in a time to think tonight that God is a weak-kneed God that can't do anything. And His strength is not as it used to be. And we've come to a place that we lower God's might. But I want to tell you tonight, He's as mighty as He's ever been. I remind you of this in Isaiah chapter number 9, chapter 9 and verse number 6. I'll give you a scripture tonight that the Lord give Isaiah. And He said in chapter 9 and verse number 6 of the book of Isaiah, He said, "For unto us a child is born." This is a prophecy of the Son of God coming. He said, "Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." And it never has been yet, but it will be. "And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." We're living in a society when evolution has seemed to creep in, and it's an accepted thing. Matter of fact, I heard somebody on the news say this week that the school system now is working in humanitarian business and those sort of things, and it's looking away from God. They don't even teach God. We know that. Don't teach God in the schools anymore. Amen. And the Bible's not the center book of our society. The Bible's been cast aside. We know that for years now. And that's where we are. And so when you don't have a Bible that describes the God that we have, you don't recognize it. Then evolution comes in and people begin to leave and look at that. Amen. Every once in a while I was at a place somewhere over in White County, and I had some old antiques out there. And they had a bunch of gorillas or a bunch of men that looked like, you could see they were teaching evolution in their antique shop. I mean, here they are. We're not a bunch of monkeys. We act like it every once in a while, but we're not monkeys. We didn't come from monkeys. And anybody got good sense could figure out, if monkeys did it one time, why in the world they don't keep doing it? Yeah, amen. Amen. Yeah, what's happened? Brother, God made man out of the dust of the ground. God took nothing, made something. He made us and breathed into our nostrils, and we became living souls. He breathed into us the breath of life. And brother, I don't have no problem with God said and it happened. Do you? I have no problem with that.
I have no problem when God slung the, and I guess not slung, but off the end of his finger, throwed the stars out there and called them all by name. Matter of fact, didn't even have to do that. He just says, let it be. And it was. God don't have to have any, he don't have to have a hammer and a nail. He don't have to have a skill saw and a drill. Brother, he can make anything he wants to make out of nothing. And he did. Brother, he keeps that, and I want you to look, that's his might. When I see all this, the creation of God's enough to tell you. Sometimes we forget about the creating God. We forget about his might, how powerful he is. And then secondly, not only in the creation, and I could give you a whole lot of stuff about the creation, really could. But I will move on a little bit and look at something else here. Not only in creation, but in salvation. One of the greatest miracles of my day and one of the greatest miracles of your day. And you said, we don't have miracles anymore. We don't have faith like we used to have either. It's not because God has changed, it's because we are not where we ought to be and where we could be. Brother, I used to see things happen in churches and watch God move and do things when we got down to pray and I sought God, and you could seek God too, and you could see things happen and loved ones get saved and the community get changed. But we don't see that anymore because we're not seeking God like we ought to be seeking God. But we'll see salvation. One of the greatest miracles of all time and eternity is when God reached down in the pits of hell and pick up a man or a woman that's lost in sin, hopeless and helpless and undone, a total wreck. I mean, I'm talking about a disaster, headed to hell, and watch him save them by his grace, change them. Never will forget it, and I'm going to mention it again. Been a while since I mentioned it anyhow. You've heard me tell it. I never will forget the miracle that God performed on my daddy. My daddy was an old drunk, wanted somebody to run over him. He stayed drunk all the time. I didn't know what it was when a little bitty boy, what it was to live in a home and love God. But the preacher and his wife would come to see him, and one night, peeping out behind the back door or the bedroom door, I saw my daddy get on his knees. My mother was in another room, but I saw my daddy get on his knees. I'd seen him do that before, but this time he got up a crying. And when that preacher and his wife left, he said, we're going to church. God made a change in his heart and life. He never drunk alcohol. I want to tell you something. God changed him, turned him, his world upside down, changed me and changed my world upside down because of that and a few years after it. Amen. I give God the praise and the glory, and I've seen that happen, and I've seen the change made. And brother, I tell you, I've seen the grace of God reach down and touch. What a miracle! He's a mighty God! Amen. And I want to tell you, if you've got any loved ones or some tonight that's not saved, God can save them too. We get down to business, we can see them saved. Amen. I do have, and I appreciate this. In the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've seen it happen more than I've seen it in a long time. But now I'm beginning to see churches. Some of the churches are not necessarily around here. But I see in churches now, preachers get together and they're having prayer meetings, special prayer meetings for the country and for the nation. Brother, praying for a revival of the nation, a stirring of God's people. What's wrong with that tonight? Nothing. I'll tell you, we need to pray because we've got a mighty God that can turn this thing around. Amen. He can turn it. Brother, we better be a praying tonight that God turns it. I want to tell you that I can see this. Amen. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. You know, we forget that. Amen. I mean, you're sitting there like stumps tonight, but we forget that. He's a mighty God. Give me more of that, more than that. Amen. That's right. I won't hurt you ladies. Say amen. Amen. I want you to know he is a mighty God that saves. And he's a mighty God that can take our lives and change it. I believe he's the only one that can turn my house upside down. Amen. Literally, he can turn it upside down if he wants to. Say amen right there too. Amen. He can get it in order. God can set it in order. God can give me what I need. God can touch my knee. God can move heaven to touch me.
Amen, he sure can. He meets my needs. We need to have a real faith in God. Not only does he in creation show himself as being mighty and in salvation being mighty, but we see him in just in everyday continuance of these things. What keeps the planets from hitting each other? I remember I read over the Word of God where that one time God stopped the sun. Remember the Word of God said to stop the sun. He caused, the sun to stand still. That's what he said. Didn't say he stopped. Said he made it stand still. And I was telling that one day to a fella, and he said, "Why, the earth goes around the sun." Said, "The sun ain't moving." And I said, "How do you know that? You ever watched it? Have you ever been close to it?" He said, "No." And I said, he said, "Scientists say it's the earth. It's revolving around the sun." It may be. But do you not know that God can have the sun moving that moves it all? Amen. I'm not getting into that. I'm not going to argue with anybody. I know God made the sun stand still. I believe he can still do things like that today. Of course, we don't need him to have to do that. And he will again stop it. You said, "Sun ain't never going to stop." Oh, well, the politicians think it's going to burn out. Yeah. Going to burn up. We got all kinds of problems with that. You know, what was that politician said? We got a couple of years ago, she said that we had about 12 years. So we're down on the 10, 9, 8, 7, 6 place now. But you said, "Does that scare you?" Don't bother me a bit. I read the back of the book. Sun will shine until one day God said, "Stop shining." He started it. He'll stop it. He turned the light on. He'll turn the light out. Won't we need no sun? One of these days when I get the glory and you get the glory. You see, they won't need any sun in hell because it's an outer darkness. And the saints of God won't need the S-U-N. Amen. We won't be traveling around and around that sun. But we will have a sun. But it'll be S-O-N, the Son of God will light the city. Hallelujah. But I look at this. What keeps everything from going right or going wrong? What keeps the planets lined up and in orbit? Suppose Pluto gets up in the morning and said, "I am not going to stay in my orbit." God said, "You will too." Amen. Now, they got better sense than you have. Amen. We'll argue with God. But they won't. And brother, it's been that way. Somebody said one of these days, it's just going to fall all apart. Hey, I got news for you. The star's going to fall out of heaven one of these days. But it's not now. We got some time left on that. You said, "How much?" I don't know that. But I know this tonight, that it's not going to happen to God. And God keeps it in order. Amen. I wasn't trying to say anything much of, to discourage you. I just want you to look at the might of God.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I've had three brothers. One died. I've got one that I talk to every once in a while. I actually hadn't seen him in several years. He don't want to come around, but he texts me and so forth. And when I get sick or something. And then I got one brother that calls me every Monday morning before breakfast or after breakfast. And he talks and he talks and he talks and he talks. And I don't care how hungry I am, he talks. And you know what I do? I just talk back because I appreciate my brother. And I thank God for it. But if I've got to get up early on Monday and try my best to get my breakfast. I've got my breakfast a few times and it got very cold before I got to eat it. So I've learned and I appreciate that. And I'm looking at physical brothers. We have a lot of physical brothers that are friends to us. Amen. And some are not. Some families are so close that other brothers and sisters, and they're a knit band. And that's wonderful, and that's good. As long as they don't put their brothers and sisters first above God. Amen. But I'll tell you, tonight. I've got a brother tonight, as we read here, to stick it close in their brother, and he's a mighty God. The second thing that I believe we forget about, not only is his might, but we forget about his majesty. I don't just have a little weak-kneed God tonight. I've got a God that's all glory, all honor, all praise. Let me just give you these, and this is very simple, and you know it tonight. But he's an omniscient God. That little word scares a lot of folks, and some folks don't know what it is. When you talk about the attributes of God, and one of the attributes of God is he's omniscient. That means he's everywhere. You can't or knows everything, excuse me. You know tonight that wherever you are, God knows the best for your life. Omniscient means he knows it all. You said, preacher, he must know a lot. No, he knows it all. Yes. He knows it all. Never been to college, never been to school, never had to learn anything, but he knows it all. He knows the end from the beginning. Do you? No. He knows what's going to take place tomorrow. Do you? You know what happened yesterday, don't you? Fairly well know what happened today, except for what you hadn't already went through yet. Can anybody tell me what's going to happen to you by 10 o'clock tonight? No. Amen. Some of them sitting over here rubbing their stomach like they're going to go eat, but you don't have no assurance of that. He's omniscient. And I love a God tonight that's omniscient, that he knows. He got majesty. Not only is he omniscient, but he's omnipotent. That means he's all powerful. There's nothing that God can't do. Do you believe there's anything that's impossible with God? Amen. I've preached a few times of some things that God can't do. He can't die. He can't lie. And you can think of some more things, but I'll tell you, that's just not in God's culture and not in God's character. He can't do it. But there's nothing impossible with God. Is there anything impossible with you? Now, I've been around some of y'all, and y'all think you can do anything. I mean, back down through the years, I've tried to make a stab at about everything, and I didn't know how to do it, but I tried my best, and sometimes I've done good, and sometimes it was a flop. But God is never, amen, messed up. Really not. And then the third thing is he's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere. If I'm in the valley, he's in the valley with me. If I'm on the mountain, he's on the mountain with me. I want you to know, I got to look at this and study about it. You know, the Bible said the earth is the Lord's footstool. He sits down on the throne, and he is on the throne. And then once in a while, God just puts his feet up on the footstool. You know what happens when you put your feet on the footstool? You sit there a little while, and you know what you do? You'll move that foot. He'll go to sleep or something. And I say, when God moves his feet, the earth shakes. Yeah. We have an earthquake somewhere, and I'll say, God just moving his feet. I read in the Word of God that the Bible said the clouds were the dust of his feet. Can you imagine that? The clouds are the dust of his feet. We went to Israel back in the 1970s. Right? I think it was 70. And I'm not one to fly off the handle, but I'm not fly. I don't like to fly. I've been in airplanes several times, big planes and in the little planes too. But we went over there in Switzerland and landed there and then took off and went to Tel Aviv from there. It'd be raining or snowing or whatever, bad weather, and we'd get up and that plane would rise up, and if you go high enough, you get above the clouds. If you've ever flown in an airplane and looked out the window when you got above the clouds, it's beautiful. There's like a tremendous snow out there, and it's just beautiful. I was sitting this afternoon over there at the house and looked out in a few clouds as going by the window. Looked up there and I said, isn't it amazing? Have you ever looked at them humongous clouds maybe in the middle of the summertime? And there's not no rain in them probably, but they're everywhere and they're pretty. Have all different forms. And I said, that's God. That's God. What a beautiful thing that is. But they're just the dust of His feet. I read over in the book of Habakkuk that the clouds are His chariot. They're His chariot. He travels. Can you imagine traveling in the clouds? Has anybody ever traveled in a cloud? You just wait, I'm going to.
Yeah, amen.
When the Lord comes in the clouds, He'll call us up in the clouds and we'll go up to be with Him. What a limousine ride. Now this is a little bit different, and I'm not trying to bother you or scare you. This stuff don't bother me. We was at the funeral home the other day, and I went out as we took the body out. As we're going out to the body, I opened this hearse door in the back and stepped back to the side, and I looked down. And I seen that they'd been washed them tires and it was real pretty and clean. And I looked at that and I said, I've never rode one of these things. I don't intend to. And when I do, I ain't going to know nothing about it. I've never tried out a casket. Have you ever looked and seen a casket? It's so peaceable looking. It looks like you could sleep real good in one of them. But I'm not going to try it out to find out. Because I'm alive. But I want to tell you something. I do look forward to that little ride to glory. In the clouds. Held up by the angels. The Bible said the rich man died, and in hell he lifted his eyes. And they buried him. Amen. In hell he lifted his eyes. But it said the beggar died and was carried by the angels. Amen. Found himself in Abraham's bosom. There's a great gulf fixed. Now I'm looking forward to one of them rides. Can you just imagine this? That God can be anywhere and everywhere all at the same time. And His transportation is through the clouds, and Brother God can step from one cloud to another. He's a big enough God to do that. I don't care if we're miles apart. He don't have to have the clouds. He just said the dust of His feet. And they're His chariots. Amen. God just said, one day He walked to, well, one day a little prophet got off over there. It hadn't rained in 3.5 years. You know who it was, don't you? Somebody tell me right quick. Elijah. Elijah prayed. God shut up heaven. Didn't rain for 3.5 years. He took them off down there, them prophets of Baal. Slayed them down there at the brook. And he got down on his knees praying for rain. And he looked and he said, Ahab, you might as well get everything ready. Get up, get your chariot in order. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. And he said to the servant, go out yonder and look. Tell me if you see a cloud. The servant come back and said, no. Now it don't usually rain out of plain sky. Because God said he's got that the moisture gets up in the clouds, rains back in evaporation to the earth. We get in trouble when God cuts a spigot on pretty heavy. Like He did a few days ago here.
Yeah.
He can give it a drop at a time. He can give it as a mist. Isn't that amazing? Or He can flood. And God uses, that's His method. And that's judgment of God. Well, just looking at this just a little bit. God knows how to do these things and get it done. So Elijah praying, he said, go back out yonder and check it again. Servant come back and said, don't see a thing. Elijah kept praying and said, go back and look again.
And he went back out and said, don't see nothing.
He said, go back and look again. And he did it 7 times. On the 7th time he come back and he said, I see a cloud like a man's hand.
Amen. You ever seen much rain out of a cloud like a man's hand?
He said to Ahab, you better get in now. It's coming.
And Ahab started home. And Elijah got so excited about it, he outrun him. Got there before he did.
Brother, there was a sound of abundance of rain. What happens is the man of God was praying and crying out and praying and crying out. And God said, all right, get over there.
Talk to the cloud. And the cloud went running and done it.
Jesus walked on the earth with the people for 3.5 years, his disciples. Well, he acted for 33 and a half years, but in a ministry. After he was crucified, he went over to the Mount of Olives. Isn't it just kind of a strange thing that a cloud showed up on the Mount of Olives? No. That's his transportation. 2 men stood by in white apparel and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus,
amen, is coming again in like manner. And he went up in the cloud because the Bible talks about it in first part of Acts. Went up. So we forget sometimes about his majesty. I read over in the book of Revelation chapter 4 and 5. Brother, they're praising him and magnifying him and bowing before him and magnifying him and magnifying him and praising him and praising him. Brother, I can't hardly wait to get there to be part of that little crowd. Majesty. Through the ceaseless ages, we're going to magnify his majesty. The third thing, and I don't have time to preach much on it, but I'll give it to you. The third thing tonight that we fail to look at is not only his might and his majesty, but we fail to look at his morals. God has set the standards for you and me. There's nobody as holy as God is. God is righteous. He's not righteous. He is righteousness. God's just not good. He's perfect. God's not just a good God. He's holy. And he sets a standard for it from Genesis to Revelation. And I want to be like him, don't you? And I want to magnify tonight his might, his majesty, and his morals. I want to be like God. I would to God I was like him. Amen. I'd like to think that I'm more like him than I've ever been. But I've got a long way to travel to get there unless I pass off the scene tonight. I don't think I'll be put in a class when I get to glory. I don't think I'll have to learn anything about the things of God or the ways of God. Learned them down here. I just hadn't practiced them just like you. So when I get on the other side, I've already heard most of it. And I won't have to be educated on it because I'll know then more than I know now. Some people ask me every once in a while, I said, you think they know this over in glory? Do you think they know any less than what they do here? You won't know less than what you know now. You'll know more. I got that old song. And we ain't sung it here in a long time. But that you sing it a lot when I was a kid. And it's, I want to know more about my Lord. And it goes through that little song. And I don't sing it that way. You ever sing it here, you're going to hear me sing it again. I'm going to know more than I know now. I'm not going to want to know more. I'm going to know more. Amen. Songwriters, when they wrote them things, they made them rhyme and come out, and they didn't mean anything about it. It was sounding good. Amen. But I'll tell you what, they miss some of it. And I like to look at it. Praise God, I'm going to know more. I don't know everything I need to know tonight, but I'll guarantee you this, when I step off of the scene of time into eternity, brother, when I greet the saints of God, what a day that's going to be.
Yeah.
Praise God.
sin and sorrow, shame, and all that's going to pass away. Amen. I'll take on a new realm. Amen. I might do a little cloud walking myself. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah tonight. Glad I'm saved by the grace of God. Heads bowed. Three things we don't look at much is the might of God, the majesty of God, and the morals of God. Sometimes we want to live like we want to live, and we got our own idea about what that is. And we don't